Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As you noticed, we now have official theme music, courtesy of Renaissance Records. This is Ceddie P's instrumental to Soul Kick. You can check out their music at itstherenaissance.com. Thank you to them for supporting the show by providing us with licensed music. All right, so y'all know it's Tony's Tuesday, so he's back on the show, and we are so excited. Got a lot of things to talk about. Minka Fitzpatrick solidifying his jersey number. Le'Veon Bell returning to Pittsburgh. Is that a thing? We'll talk about that. Tony always having his crazy conspiracy theories. We laugh about those. Then we talk about what he likes to see the Steelers do in free agency. Find all that today on the show. Let's get into it. All right, everyone. It's Tony Tuesday. Helping us get through our second day of the week. Got Tony Serino, former co-host of Locked On Steelers, back on the show. Tony, thanks for coming back, my man.
Yeah, thank you for having me back on, Chris. Listen, I want to know how you're doing today because you pulled off a Cinderella upset. You know, you remember the UMBC Retrievers back in the day beat Virginia, the first 16 seed in the NCAA tournament to pull off that upset. But you, Chris, did it again, pulling off the upset in Joey's tournament there, defeating, who was it, the number one seed there?
Colby Armstrong.
That's right. That's right. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Yes,
a
yes.
Cinderella story.
We were cutting down the nets, and that's because you, Locked On listeners, you showed up. You rode at dawn. So thank you for showing up. We won, I think it was by 8%. So out of 600 votes, that's like, what, 6 times 8, like 50-ish votes. So we upset the number one seed going away. Now I'm up again. I'll have it posted on my Twitter profile at Carter Critiques. If you want to vote on my next round, I'm already in the next round. We're winning in that one too. But you know, as we advance, it's going to only get tougher. I'm going up against Jim Colony of 93.7 The Fan. So stay tuned, y'all. Thanks for voting last round. I'll need y'all to keep going and surviving. We're going to make it all the way, baby. All right. But that's not what we're here. That's not what you and I are here to talk about, Tony. Thanks for the shout out. Glad you, I hope you vote for me this next round too.
Absolutely. Vote for you twice.
There you go. Boom. That's what I like to hear. But yeah, so let's talk about it's not like huge groundbreaking news, but I think it's pretty cool news. And it's my top news of the day. Minka Fitzpatrick came on Twitter announcing he is sticking with the number 39 as his Steelers number moving forward, which to me, I think that's a very cool thing because now it means everyone who's bought his jersey means that it's not going to like lose value or turn into a throwback by them buying it. So now, and now everyone who was, there was a lot of people I talked to, Tony, that were hesitating. Do I even buy a Minka Fitzpatrick jersey if it's just going to change this time next year? Because that's what happened with Joe Hayden. So, you know, I personally think this is very cool on Minka Fitzpatrick's part, but I know you've never really liked the number 39 on him.
It's not a safety number. It's just not. It's a running back's number. And you know, when they gave it to him last year, it was out of necessity, right? Because the NFL had that rule. You can't change numbers in the middle of the season or whatever. And I guess, well, Cam Kelly already had his number. So he couldn't change. So he just stuck with 39 and whatever. I mean, it was a number in the middle of the season. I think you and I told fans, right? Like, if you're going to buy a Minka jersey, maybe wait until next year because he's probably going to change his number. The fact that he's not, I mean, look, it's not like, you know, I always say this about Terrell Edmonds, right? He, you know, not only did Terrell Edmonds have to get over like being a first round pick when he maybe should have been a second round pick, right? You know, he had this expectation of him that was maybe too high for the kind of player that he was. But then the Steelers also gave him the burden of having a bad number, right? And those are two things he's had to work through his career. Minka has already worked through that. He's a very good player at 39. But it does kind of, it's, I don't know, it's crapping me. I like when players have numbers that go with the kind of player that they are. So, you know, Minka's going to stick with 39. I agree. It is kind of cool that he's going to stick with that. You know, he can create his own, you know, making 39 a classic in Pittsburgh. But I would like to see him having more of a traditional safety number.
Well, how about this for your running back take, Tony? How about this? Minka Fitzpatrick had 5 interceptions. Of those interceptions, he returned them for 130 yards. That's 26 yards per carry.
Listen, you know, take running back off the board. I'll tell you that right now. Take it off the board in the second round and the third round. The Steelers got they got two running backs in the secondary right now. They got, not only do they have Minka Fitzpatrick, they have Terrell Edmonds alongside him. Throw him in there for Connor. We're good to go. Good to go. Minka Fitzpatrick, by the way, you know, listen, you put the ball in his hands, exciting things happen. So I actually wouldn't hate to see him, you know, play a couple downs offensively.
Oh, wait a second. I forgot to account fumble recoveries. One second. Let me do some quick math here. 79 plus 130 is 209 divided by 5 interceptions plus 3 fumbles recovered. That's 8. So really, it's a 26.125 yards per carry.
He's the most explosive player with the ball in his hands the Steelers have, which I guess is why they gave him a running back number.
Yep, that's pretty. So there you have it.
Okay, there it is. Oh, we figured it out.
You can't be mad at it anymore. I think that it's really cool because, one, also, I kind of made this analogy. So last week, I don't know if you've been able to check out my Throwback Thursdays, Tony. But last week I did a Throwback Thursday for James Ferrier, and you know, James Ferrier, a guy from the Jets that, you know, really didn't fit in there, even though it was obvious that he was a talented guy. They were just not using him right. And then he comes to the Steelers and he just becomes a legendary inside linebacker that never really gets the credit because he doesn't have those super splash moments, but he was just Mr. Consistency, has the most tackles in a season for the team's history at 144, I think it is. And he became a legendary part of a legendary defense.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I see a lot of similarities between him and Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know, both of them coming big out of college. You know, they were high picks that the Steelers were never going to be able to get. They go to AFC East teams that they don't appreciate being how they're used. They come to the Steelers and then they make an immediate impact where everyone sees how good they are, and they're captain quality like guys. They know how to speak in the locker room. They know how to lead other guys in the field. Now, we haven't seen all that develop with Minkah Fitzpatrick yet, but I just think that this the steps that he took in the first year were so good, and now he gets a chance to set the tone with the DB room. It might be a much different. You might see the attitude of the Steelers defense continue to morph into something we haven't seen for a while.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, look, Minkah. See, the only disagreement I have with you is that I don't know that Ferrier. You know, I think Minkah is going to end up being like one of the faces of this defense when it, you know, when it does go like when the NFL starts to realize like, oh, the Steelers have a great defense and they're not just, you know, making fun of the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh. Right. When the national media starts catching on about the Steelers defense, I think he's going to be one of the faces of it. I don't know that James Ferrier was ever a face of it. I agree with you that he was an integral part of that 2008 defense. But when you had guys like Troy and Harrison,
right.
You know, those were, I think, the faces of that defense. I think Minkah will be a face of this defense, right?
No, I agree with that take entirely because, I mean, Minkah, is first, he's a first-team all-pro safety with 5 interceptions and 3 fumble recoveries and 2 fumbles forced. I do agree. He's going to – because he creates those splash plays. He already had a pick 6 that flipped an entire game around.
Yeah.
I agree. He's going to get a lot more national recognition. And say – again, we're looking way down the line here. But say this defense does become legendary like that 2000s defense did.
Yeah.
Say they go on, they win a couple Super Bowls. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick, if he continues to play the way that he has and ascend, then you're right. He is going to be a face of defense. And he's going to be a guy that kind of gets remembered for the team like Troy was. Because he's that playmaker that creates those huge splash plays that flip games over like Troy did. Ferrier – more so made the quiet plays that were just so consistent that eventually they did flip the game over because he just said, hey, I'm going to be in my gap. I'm going to make the right tackle, or I'm going to make the tackle for loss, or I'm going to cut off this passing lane. I'm going to communicate, keep everyone on the same page and be a leader. The comparison I was going for is more so that, you know, he wasn't appreciated by an AFC East team.
True. Yeah.
He definitely wanted. And I do think that Minkah has leadership like qualities just from everything I always read about him at Alabama and what I was seeing from him early on with the Steelers. I mean, this year, when Joe Hayden looks at you like, I can count on you, and not just count on you, but rely on you to help me out, I think that says a lot.
Yeah. And the thing about Minkah, you know, we're in this kind of silly season now where there's not a whole lot going on, so it's kind of hot take season, and you know, how many silly articles have we read about the Steelers this year about how, you know, Ben should be cut or Ben gave up on the team last year? There's been a lot of silly things written this time of year because that's what you have to do to fill the time while there's not a lot of real news out there. The one take I haven't heard, Chris, is especially as we get into the draft, is that, boy, the Steelers really messed up with that Minkah trade. How much could this team who missed the playoffs last year really use that first round pick? No one's writing that take today because Minkah Fitzpatrick was worth every bit of the pick they gave up for him. I think that speaks volumes for not only the player that he is, but the player that he's going to continue to be for this defense.
Well, the only people that apparently think it was a bad trade were our friends at Locked On Bengals, who swore to me up and down that it was a bad idea and still think it's a bad idea. They said, where'd Minkah Fitzpatrick go in the second half of the season?
Yes. Where did he go? The defense, the Steeler defense just fell off a cliff in the second half of the year. Sure. Yeah, sure.
All right. So that's our first segment. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a guy who's an ex-Steeler that everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people went back. And he was back in Pittsburgh. Who am I talking about? Find out after this. All right. We're back here, Tony. So, Tony, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but Steelers social media was tripping when people were just posting up videos and pictures because of all people, Le'Veon Bell returned to Pittsburgh and was seen like in the strip district buying some stuff, hanging out, and people were like, "Oh man, it's Le'Veon Bell. He's back in Pittsburgh. Does that mean he's coming back? What does this mean? Oh my God!"
Does it though? Chris, please tell me it does.
It doesn't. No, why are you? Tony, you're one of the people that I know.
Oh, I'm all in.
No, Tony.
Bring him back. Let's get the band back together.
Oh, God. The tinfoil Tony's back again. What?
I am. I'm back.
Okay, Tony, give me your reasoning why you think he's coming back.
For all the reasons that you – okay, so look. You talked about it, right? You want this offense needs to establish a running game again, right? Mm-hmm. And look, that's going to happen via solidifying the offensive line. But then potentially, I mean, especially in this running back draft, you know, potentially getting someone in there to supplement Connor who hasn't been shown to be able to stay healthy. If you told me that this offense right now could add back Le'Veon Bell at his prime, right? And we don't know where he is right now as far as, you know, did he reach that running back cliff last year? It's hard to tell because he was on such a bad offense on the Jets. There were times that I watched him and I said, oh, no, he's still got it. But, you know, those times are few and far between because most of the time he's trying to avoid two or three guys behind the line of scrimmage. But if you told me I could have that same guy that we watched in those playoff games against, you know, Kansas City and Miami and even the Jacksonville game where I thought he was very good.
He was.
If you told me I could have that guy back in this offense right now, you know, you want a Tony hot take, Chris? I know the Steelers need to clear about $16 million to get Bud Dupree, but I might be tempted to let Bud walk. And if I could bring that Le'Veon Bell back. Now, again, this is a big risk. So Kevin Colbert is not hot take Tony. He's not going to do this. But if I were general manager of the Steelers, I might take that risk because I think that, you know, yes, the defense is going to fall off a little bit without Bud. But this offense with Le'Veon takes a huge step forward, takes so much of the pressure off of Ben Roethlisberger coming off of elbow surgery. I would maybe think about that for sure.
Tony, that would be the wildest flip-flop. I mean, and that's considering the Steelers just traded a first-round pick to get Minkah Fitzpatrick after, in the same offseason, they traded up in the draft to get Devin Bush, something they haven't done for a defensive player since Troy Polamalu. This would be completely wild for them to do that. Especially with considering how Le'Veon Bell's exit was here in Pittsburgh. Now, he wasn't the head case that Antonio Brown was, despite people calling him the toxic twin of Antonio Brown. He wanted to get paid, and he thought his guaranteed money would work out a different way than it did. But his cap number for the Jets right now is $15.5 million. The thing is that it's tough to see the Jets getting rid of him because, you know, and I don't know how all this would work with a trade, right? But if you
look at the hard, that's the part that kills it. Not only would the Steelers have to take on $15 million, they have to give up some sort of draft capital in order to get him. That's
right.
Where the deal dies.
Right. And they would give up some draft capital to get him. And on top of that, you look at what would happen with the Jets. According to overthecap.com, if they were to trade him before, you know, pre-June 1, that means that they would take on $6 million in dead money. They would only save about $9.5 million in cap savings. So that's a lot of bread to just be sitting on for a guy that you don't have anymore, unless you're getting a really good draft pick. And the Steelers don't mean they have a second round pick. And I just don't see why would you give up a second round pick to pay for a running back when you can get a young running back that could become, you know, a young stud for you guys.
Right. No, this would have to be like a Santonio Holmes type deal where, you know, you're getting him for pennies on the dollar, like a fifth round pick for Le'Veon.
Yeah.
You know. Considering the draft or the salary cap implications of bringing him on, because again that happens. Bud Dupree is a, you know, never happened.
If they sign any other free agent that's not like a small restricted free agent or just a guy that's like under $4 million, if they start signing guys like that, Bud's not coming back.
But let's live in the hypothetical world, right, where Sure. Okay, so but who is going to be more impactful to the 2020 Steelers? Bud Dupree right now as we know him today, or if you could get back that Le'Veon Bell as we last saw him in a Steeler uniform 2 years ago, you know, who was playing against Jacksonville, that version of Le'Veon Bell, right? Or the Bud Dupree that we know of today, who's more impactful to the 2020 season only?
If I had to say, I'd say Le'Veon Bell. I mean, yeah. Now here's the thing. Bud's really coming on as an edge rusher. So his ascent may be what works. And if Le'Veon gets hurt again, then you're going to, you know, there's questions about that. But the threat that Le'Veon Bell posed as a running back, I mean, he was just, at one point, he was the best running back in the NFL. Yeah. So, I mean, getting that guy back for your number two pass rusher, if he was to play at that level, yes, he would be better. But you also have to consider the impact on the organization, because everyone was talking about it's time to get rid of Le'Veon Bell. You're trying to reset the locker room. And if you bring Le'Veon Bell back again, I don't think he was one of those toxic guys. But you've kind of set a new tone with a lot of things. And bringing a guy back, you know, is going to be – I think that would kind of shake up the room just a little bit. And it might not be a boat that the Steelers want to rock. And that's why Yeah, and it's just – and again, Le'Veon was not the guy walking around the locker room being mad at people or disappearing in training camp. You know, he didn't show up to training camp. But also, I mean, you think about it. When, you know, with his contract disputes with the team, he didn't show up to the training camp the year before. He didn't even show up at all. So, right. Like, I think that's going to leave a sour taste in the mouths of the Steelers when they're like, do I want Le'Veon Bell back? Whereas they know with Bud Dupree, he's going to show up. He's going to work. He's going to do his best. And him and T.J. Watt right now are a dynamic duo. And when you combine that with their interior defensive lineman of Hayward and Tuitt, I mean, that's a potential steel curtain of a front four.
Yeah. It's a more sure thing to go with Bud, right? Because like we're talking about, you know, we're talking about bringing back the Le'Veon Bell that played against Jacksonville 2 years ago. I mean, who knows, you know, how much different a player Le'Veon is today, because we just haven't seen enough. He sat out that entire year, and then he played for the Jets where, you know, you really can't make a whole lot of substantive you can't really decipher what kind of player he still is because he played on a team that just didn't have enough talent around him to complement what he brings to the table.
100%. I agree with that. You really couldn't see. And you also have to remember, I mean, and this is kind of behind him, so it's a little unfair, but he did have those brushes with marijuana, you know, so that also, supposedly with the CBA, marijuana won't be a problem.
Hopefully that solves itself by Thursday, hopefully.
Right, yeah. So that's another talking point. But I think you think about all those headaches that you had with Le'Veon Bell on top of the amazing things you have with Le'Veon Bell. Either go with that. And again, look at Bud Dupree's last three seasons. He's missed a total of one whole game in three years. Mm-hmm. That's reliability. That's consistency. You got to look at that and think, man, I value that. And especially after coming off of a double-digit sack season with four forced fumbles. I think that Bud Dupree is really figuring himself out, and the team is figuring out how to use him. So why shake that up when you got that working? When, again, you can draft a new running back who's a playmaker, younger than Le'Veon, don't cost you as much as Le'Veon, and then, you know, when Ben moves on, maybe that running back is where you base your offense on while you get a younger quarterback and kind of let him come up in a strong ground game. So, which is ultimately that was the theory I had behind keeping Le'Veon Bell in the first place. When you look at him, my thought was whenever Ben retired, if they could have like a veteran Antonio Brown with a veteran Le'Veon Bell and still keep that offensive line together, then you could have a quarterback who, you know, maybe had some mobility on him and say like, look, you got all these star players around you. Don't depend on yourself too much. Lean on them and they'll do the rest. But now I think with Le'Veon Bell gone, you kind of got to just go with another young running back and see if they can become a star. And if you get a star guy in the draft with that second round pick, I really think that sets up the future. One, it eases Ben Roethlisberger a little bit. Two, it'll push Benny Snell and James Conner a little bit more. And three, if whoever wins that running back battle, if they're able to establish themselves as a pure number one, you know, maybe when Ben retires in a couple years, then you're talking about you have that number one running back and that running game situated. So if it's Mason Rudolph or someone else that has to come in and start a quarterback, They know that they have a strong ground game to lean on. And with Le'Veon Bell, you have to wonder, you know, will he still be playing at a high level in 2 to 3 years?
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, there's just no chance. You know, we'll know, I guess, by 4 o'clock tomorrow, right, whether or not Bud Dupree has been franchised. And I imagine he definitely will be. And at that point, there is no chance Le'Veon's coming. I mean, there's already no chance Le'Veon's coming.
Right. I think that's over and done with. Oh, yeah. But Tony brings up a great point, y'all. The tag deadline, I believe, is what, 4 p.m. tomorrow? So we'll know
today as they're listening to this.
Oh, right. Yeah, today. Yeah, we're totally recording on Tuesday, guys. It's
definitely.
Yeah.
We always do.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyways, this will probably be the lead story tomorrow when you guys are listening to the show. So there's that part of it. But yeah, so don't expect Le'Veon Bell to come back. If you saw those posts, ignore them. You don't have to be one of those Steelers fans that gets caught up in the hysteria and you know, you go through your day thinking like, wow, what if this actually happens? Don't do that. You're wasting your time. Think about other things like free agency and who the Steelers might pick. And maybe some people that Tony has some hot takes for. We'll get into those right after this break. Okay, so for our final segment of Tony Tuesday, I always like to dip into some Tony takes. It's sort of like Stu Gott's weekend observations. Like, I want to hear what Tony's been looking at, and I'll grade where his takes are. Y'all can grade them too if you want. You know, hit him up with the @SteelerCountry on Twitter. And let him know if he's tripping or if he's on to something. Because you know, Tony was the guy that said that the Steelers were going to trade Mike Tomlin to Washington because there was a plane in the Pittsburgh airport. It still hasn't happened, Tony.
Still hasn't happened. But you know, I'm not ruling anything out yet. I know they have Ron Rivera now, which seems weird if they're going to want Tomlin. But you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a one for one deal now.
Well, Ron Rivera was interviewed for a Steelers coach before Mike Tomlin back in 2007. So,
oh my God, it's happening.
Anyways, all right, Tony, free agency. First, I want to know, what Steelers do you think that they're going to make a point on keeping other than Bud Dupree? Because we just talked a lot about him.
Yeah.
But what Steelers do you think they're going to make a point on keeping, and which point one people do you want to see go / see stay?
Well, I think, you know, there's not many I want to see go, right? I mean, there's the obvious ones of just like, hey, listen, you know, it was nice having you as a Steeler, but it's your time to go now. It's like RDE, Sean Davis. Yeah. Though, you know, Hargrave would be nice to keep, but it just feels like he's going to get mega paid. Yeah, so those guys, you know, they're obviously gone. You know, then there are the guys that I'd like to keep. I'd love to keep Finney, obviously. We talked about this, right? The kind of stability on the offensive line. And I think Tyler Matakevich is another guy who I really kind of want to see stay. And I know that's crazy because, you know, he's not really been a highly thought of guy in Pittsburgh. But when you look at what he brings to the table on special teams and the fact that the Steelers are very likely to cut Anthony Ciccolo for salary cap reasons. In fact, that's probably going to happen in the next 24 hours or whatnot. I guess it could be a little longer, but whatever. They're going to have to do it in order to get Bud Dupree under this franchise tag. So, you know, Ciccolo is one of those core special teamers that they have. Matakevich being the other one. I don't want to lose both those guys in 1 year because special teams, those are all the hidden yards that we don't talk about, but they can have a big impact on the results of games. Honestly, you could almost make an argument that Matakevich might be like the most important unrestricted free agent outside of Bud Dupree, you know, above a guy like Finney, just because the Steelers have some options. You know, even if Finney were to go, right, you could move Filer to guard, and then, you know, you have Zach Banner at right tackle. The restricted free agency is also really interesting because, and I know you've talked about this, right? You know, the Mike Hiltons of the world, is he coming back? You know, always felt like, well, Mike Hilton will be here as long as he's, you know, under one of these restricted free agency tenders, which he has been for the last couple years. But this year, it seems like there's a real chance that they might have to let him go for cap implications. And then really the same can be said for Filer and Banner. So, you know, all of these guys, you'd like to see them bring him back. But, man, if they're going to be franchise tagging Bud Dupree and holding that $16 million over their head, then, you know, there's a lot of those guys are probably not going to get brought back. And so then when we start going into, like, you know, actual free agency, it's just like, who's available for the vet minimum? Because that's about all I got left.
Yeah, also interesting, and this could be nothing. It could just be nothing. But someone just pointed out to me, Josiah Jones from Twitter, thanks for sharing this with me, sent me just noted the Steelers just literally about, what's it? It's 8:53. So less than half an hour ago, the Steelers Twitter account posted a video like a highlight tribute of Mike Hilton and his sort of like shoulder shrug celebration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with all the free agent talk, you know, that'd be a funny time for them to show a Mike Hilton highlight when you can show TJ Watt, you can show Steven Nelson, Joe Hayden, any of the guys that are under contract right now, and it wouldn't mean anything. Now, again, Steelers social media, I'm sure, doesn't have ties to Kevin Colbert, but
yeah,
you never know who knows something in the Steelers organization, because, you know, things do spread around a little bit. It's kept hush hush, but, like, you know, in certain rooms, I'm sure there's things that are shared. If Mike Hilton staying is a really important, is a really interesting topic for me, because he cost them about $3.2 million to keep around, probably, I think, because of his restricted free agency. And I like Mike Hilton a lot. He's very smart. He's very aggressive. He knows how to tackle, you know, but you look at Cam Sutton behind him, and, you know, you can have a guy that you can trust in the slot for cheap while you draft another slot cornerback to be behind him. And that's maybe some money you're saving in the cap. But, you know, that video, stuff like that always makes me ponder, like, does that mean anything? Or does that not mean anything? I think when the Steelers interview somebody, like their own people, when they interview somebody, I think that's usually a sign. But who knows? I mean, again, I think Mike Hilton, if he goes, I understand why. But if he stays, I really like that, because I think the way that he plays the slot cornerback position, it helps in the run. It helps with the pass. It helps in covering mobile quarterbacks. He's very adept at that. And he has really good football instincts, so I would like that. But those are some of the Steelers. Tony, are there players out in free agency that aren't Steelers right now and haven't been Steelers, or maybe they have been Steelers and now they're just sitting around free agency, who you're looking at for the Steelers to take?
I mean, you know, there's a lot of fun names out there, right? I love AJ Green, or, you know, one of those guys. Amari Cooper. I'd love for Amari Cooper to be in black and gold. That's not going to happen. You know, you start looking down the list, right? You and I were doing this before we started, right? I was looking at these top 100 lists and, like, well, let me just scroll to the bottom, because all these top guys the Steelers can't afford. You know, you even go to the bottom of these lists and it's like, they're not going to afford, you know, Kenyon Drake. Sure, I'd love Kenyon Drake. There's not a chance Drake's ending up in black and gold. So you just have to keep going down and down and down these lists. And I got to tell you, the answer to this question is, I keep reading these names at the bottom of this list. You know, like the Chris Hogan's of the world, the Jermaine Curses of the world. Like, yeah. I would rather them just keep Tyler Matakevich. Like, put the money in. You know, you talk about Mike Hilton. This team, if they go through with some of these moves, right, where let's say they let a Mike Hilton go, the domino effect of that is that you're going into a season next year where, yeah, we all trust Cam Sutton to step up in that nickel corner spot. But all of a sudden, you're removing depth from this team, and they're going to do that at so many different positions. We talk about cutting Chickalone. We talk about what the moves they're going to make on the offensive line, or potentially, you know, not bringing back Zach Banner or BJ Finney, or cutting Ramon Foster. And it's just kind of that domino effect down the line where this team's going to go into next season potentially razor thin at certain positions. Where, you know, what happens if Cam Sutton gets hurt, or what happens if one of the outside corners gets hurt? I mean, you trust him bringing Justin Lane in right now as a starter for a team that is going to hope to compete with Baltimore for a division title or maybe a wild card spot, but whatever. This team aspires to a playoff team again. And, you know, how many different positions on this roster are going to be one injury away from, you know, just complete disaster, right? I mean, you know, let's look at the tight end right now. If they don't bring in a tight end, and, you know, they don't have a ton of money to go out there and get a tight end, if Vance McDonald's hurt, Zach Gentry is the starter today, right? You know, if they don't bring Hilton back, Cam Sutton goes down. Who even is the nickel? I don't even know that guy's on the team right now. You know, if Minka goes down or Terrell Edmonds goes down, who's stepping in for these guys? And there's so many positions down the roster right now where you could say that. And it's all because they want to keep Bud Dupree. This team's going to put itself in a really interesting situation in 2020, because I think they're going to have a very strong top end of the roster, but it's going to be, it's going to feel like very injury dependent if they let a lot of the guys that are already on the roster go.
So, yeah, I mean, like with the tight end position, I look at players like Darren Fells from the Texans.
Yeah.
Or Charles Clay for the Cardinals. Charles Clay is one guy I've always wondered, like, he always looked good, but, you know, never really worked out anywhere. Michael Pruitt from the Titans. You know, there's the big names like Tyler Eifert from the Bengals. Greg Olsen's already been signed by the Seahawks. Everyone's going to talk about Austin Hooper, or Eric Ebron, or Hunter Henry. Those guys to me are out of the picture. Like, those
are
the guys.
There's just no way.
Like, the Steelers are in no bidding wars. Right now, the Steelers are – they have to make very small and sneaky moves to get people for the cheap on the low end of these markets and see if they can get something out of them.
Yeah.
I look at those as, you know, that maybe that makes sense. Maybe a Charles Clay.
Yeah.
I like
it. Yeah.
I like him. I like Darren Fells. I know he had some drops for the Texans last year, but I remember him with the Chiefs and he was a decent number two. And that's all, again, that's all you're asking one of these guys to be. And then, you know, you look at the safety position, and the safety position I think is one that you could take advantage of, because the safety market has been rough.
Yes, it has.
For the past few years. I mean, we were talking about the year or two ago, everyone thought that this, you know, Mike Mitchell and all these other guys are gonna be flying off the boards, and they just weren't. And some of those guys were still sitting at home. You know, Trey Boston was a guy, he sat around for quite some time before he got signed by the Panthers. You know, and this season, I mean, you got a lot of guys hitting free agency. Like, here's some names: Anthony Harris from the Vikings, Justin Simmons from the Broncos, Devin McCourty from the Patriots. I think he'll be back with the Patriots, though.
Yeah.
Clinton Dix from the Bears. Yeah. Trey Boston. Jimmy Ward from the Niners. Carl Joseph from the Raiders. Kendall Fuller from the Chiefs. Demarius Randall from the Browns. Vaughn Bell from the Saints, who actually I liked him coming out of the draft. Ronnie McLeod from the Eagles. Adrian Phillips. Tavon Wilson. Jayron Kearse. All these guys, right? And you could probably find a depth safety somewhere in there.
Yes.
And pay them around $2-3 million a year to be that depth safety. Because also, don't forget, Jordan Dangerfield is an unrestricted free agent right now. So, like, literally all they have is Marcus Allen behind those two safeties. So I agree with you. I think they need to make a move there. You know, and I think they will end up signing one of them. The question is just who and how much. And again, I think a lot of this really depends, because the NFL is trying to push back their dates for the for a lot of these things, because they're waiting for the CBA to drop. They're waiting to see if the players ratify it, because if it's ratified by the players, they're gonna get a new salary cap, and it's probably gonna increase. We'll find out how much it increases by, which yes. Then allows all the teams to know, hey, you can spend X amount of dollars now.
And it also allows them to start doing the restructurings that they want to do with guys like Ben and Hayward and Tuitt and all those guys who they know, you know, they want to give extensions to, or they want to be able to restructure those contracts, and that'll free up a ton of money. And then, you know, they won't be searching, you know, they won't be having to pinch their penny as much, because like you said, the cap's probably going to go up, and they'll be able to free much more cap space the way they always do, which is by doing these restructurings. So that's going to be huge for this team. And that, you know, the Bud Dupree thing's going to happen like tomorrow, right? But then this thing, if it's going to get ratified, it should get ratified, you know, right before the start of the league year, which is when teams will know, okay, now we have, you know, we have this ability to make more money. And the Steelers, you know, they do this every year, but they're very good about this, about not getting themselves in this situation. So, yeah, if the CBA goes through, I think the Steelers are going to be in a much better position when it comes to free agency. And then we can start, you know, then we don't, you know, it is not about, you know, which one of these guys from the bottom of the list can we get. And maybe there is room potentially to go out and not, you know, look, they don't have to spend a bunch, but like you talked about at safety, there's a ton of good names there. And you can probably get one of those guys, like you said, at $2-3 million a year, which the Steelers should be able to afford. Someone who can come in and be a quality veteran depth presence at safety, or if they even want to go to those three safety looks again, they could do that too. You know, but right now where they sit, you know, they're an injury away from disaster.
Certainly. Well, that wasn't a hot take. I think it was just an accurate assessment. What are you doing to me, Tony?
Every week now. I'm sorry. I got to come in with better hot takes. All right, here's a new one. Dak Prescott, how do we get him in Pittsburgh? Backup quarterback.
They offered him $33 million, and he reportedly said no. That's what's coming out of this. These are all reports and rumors, and
yeah,
we're unsure about what. It also, Jerry Jones likes to play these media games, so he could be completely telling a lie here. But yeah, no. I mean,
are you buying the Tom Brady stuff about, like, you know, they had a call and it wasn't productive, no, and he's going to free agency, he's out of there?
No, I don't buy that.
I'm buying it all day.
No, see, and here's why I don't buy it. Because I would at least consider the possibility, because I don't doubt that him and Belichick butt heads at times.
Yeah, they hate each other.
Right. But Adam Schefter tweeted out like a week or two ago saying that the two of them spoke a while ago, but they have not said anything recently, and they had nothing contentious. And when Adam Schefter puts his name behind something, mm-hmm, I tend to believe it. That guy, he not only is he the scoop master of the NFL, but he's also quite verified in that almost everything that he reports is true or becomes true very soon. So That's why I smacked that down. I'm like, eh, I don't buy it just yet. You know, there was and it's funny because he had on I forget the name of the guy, maybe Daniel Jeremiah, I think it was, but whoever initially said, like, you know, I'd be shocked if Tom Brady returned. He had Adam Schefter had him on his podcast this week, and they spoke briefly, and he was just basically like, why would you be shocked? And he's like, well, I'm just reading the writing on the wall, and just, you know, and he's like, I've had some personal conversations that suggest to me that it would be a shock for him to stay. And so that was an interesting discussion, but, you know, but like he pointed out, and like Adam pointed out, it was like, you know, if he stayed in New England, you know, there would probably be something that has to happen, but this is Tom Brady and that's his home. So, you know, why, you know, it's not that far fetched though, to see that a stretch would be made to keep him there. Yeah. But also at the same time, if you're Tom Brady and, you know, the Raiders are offering you $60 million for 2 years of football and you get to be in Vegas, you know, would that be interesting to you? You know, they also brought up the possibility, what if Tom Brady goes to the Buccaneers? He'd still be on the East Coast, but he'd be in nicer weather. He'd have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans to throw to. My goodness. He'd have Bruce Arians as a head coach. So at least it's a guy that, you know, can work with a quarterback. You know, and then also you still got teams like the Titans, you know, or the Chargers that have talent on them, and maybe that he's able to will them to some big wins. So I don't put it past Tom Brady to go anywhere else, but I still think he's going back to New England.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the Tampa stuff, because I'm in Orlando, the Tampa stuff down here is heating up a lot, like the Brady to Tampa stuff. Although there's also like a competing narrative of Rivers to Tampa. Just feels like, I will say this, it does feel like Jameis Winston is not going to be a Buccaneer in 2020, so they're going to change quarterbacks, and I guess Brady is certainly, like you said, you know, it's an enticing situation for him because he's going to get to throw to guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and, you know, Brady could – going from the wide receiver situation that he had in New England last year to Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, it's a bit of a difference for him, so may get him to leave. I wonder how long Brady – you know, how long does he stretch this out once free agency starts, right? Is he one of those guys that's, like, announced even before free agency starts, you know, Schefter puts out a tweet? Or is he doing the whole, like, Players Tribune, you know, I'm coming home thing or whatever? Like, does he stretch this thing out and then, like, an article's written? What are the machinations by which Tom Brady goes about announcing where he's going, right?
Yeah, no, I think that this is a guy that he knows, he's smart enough to know he commands the free agency market right now. Like, once he goes somewhere, everything will start to change and everyone will start to make moves. And not that people won't make moves before that happens, but once he goes, then I think every other team in the league is going to be like, all right, well, we know we can't get him. Let's go and get the other guy that we wanted.
Right. But see, if he stretches this out, I don't know. The NFL is weird because the NBA is very different, right? Kawhi Leonard did this where he was like, will he, won't he, with the Lakers. They ended up going to the Clippers, and then the Lakers, you know, kind of got caught there and had to fill that roster. Now, they're doing just fine. It's not like that really affected them at the end of the day. But with New England, right, with the kind of will he, won't he, stay with us, and should we go get a quarterback for right now, right, and just let Brady go? Be interesting to watch, right? Not only, you know, what Brady's doing, but do the Patriots bring in other quarterbacks? Do they look to sign someone so that they don't get left caught hanging out there if Brady were to, like, you know, let this thing go into April or something with his decision?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point there. There's a lot of things to consider with where Tom Brady goes. Again, my personal position is if anyone, I think he'll stay in New England. I also want him to stay in New England because I think that's a brand that I don't want to see leave just yet. And I do think I want the Steelers to have another crack at him, even though he'll be older.
You think there's unfinished business?
Oh yeah. I think that if the Steelers with their defense, if they can get Ben Roethlisberger back and healthy and they have a ground game this year with this defense, I think that this is even a year that they could possibly even go into Foxborough and lay the smack it down upon Tom Brady. Just seeing how the Titans handled him, in Foxborough. I think this would be a year. Now, a few things at the end have to happen. Ben has to be healthy. They need Dupree back. They need their defense to stay healthy, and they need a ground game to emerge. So those three things happen. I think that they'll be competing with everybody, but especially with the way that the Patriots play ball. And I also think that the Patriots soon after, if they let Brady go right now, I think they crack sooner rather than later. If they keep Brady around, I think he'll keep them competitive and they'll find ways to float around. But if Brady goes, I think that they start to stink. And then Belichick will probably bow out and say he's had a career. And then you're going to have a lot of question marks thrown up in New England. And then we'll see how much of an what kind of organization they are, because they've had an amazing run over this past two decades. And that's where all six of their Super Bowls have come, you know. But, you know, again, they match the Steelers in Super Bowl wins, but the Steelers have also stretched that out among three coaches over a span of like 40 years. Yeah. So, you know, could the Patriots strike gold again with a head coach and then find another quarterback and then just make it happen again? If they do that, then I think it puts their organization on even another level than they already are.
We all got to find new hobbies.
Right. Yeah. It's gonna be like, well, let's forget about it, everybody. But
you laugh about Formula One, but I'll tell you what.
Will the Patriots make Chris Carter watch Formula One? Find out next week. But yeah, so that's that. So yeah, Tony, thanks for being on the show, man. Let people know what you got going on. If there's anything that you want them to watch, or if anything that you want them to follow.
Ooh, that's a good point. Is there anything I want them to watch? Nah, I mean, Formula One starts this week. I'm pretty excited about that. But you can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. And Chris, thank you for having me on. I'm excited, and I'll be back next week.
Awesome. Always happy to have you on for Tony Tuesdays. If you're listening to the show and you like it a lot, thanks for those who already have subscribed. If you're not subscribed, you can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all the places where major podcasts are hosted. If you haven't given us 5-star on Apple Podcasts, please do so. If you do, I'll read your review on the show, as long as it's safe for work. If you want to interact more with the show, you can hit me up on Twitter and follow me. I'll follow you back at Carter Critiques. You can also join the Facebook group. Go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group. I'll add you as soon as I can, and you can get to chatting with hundreds of other Locked On Steelers loyal listeners. And speaking of you loyal listeners, you guys, you did it! You got me through March Madness Round 1. We pulled off the Giant Killer as upset, as Tony mentioned at the top of the show. We got another round coming up. You can go to my Twitter page at Carter Critiques to vote on the next round. We're going to keep going, y'all. We're going to see how far we can take this Cinderella ride. But yeah, thanks to all those who voted. Thanks again to Tony for joining the show. I'll be back tomorrow talking some Wednesday and talking some Steelers.